Campus Chronicles is the ultimate podcast for college students seeking real stories, honest advice, and empowering insights to thrive in student life and beyond. Hosted by Brooke Young and the Campus Chronicles team, this weekly show features inspiring interviews, practical tips, and conversations that tackle the challenges, wins, and personal growth that comes with university life. Perfect for college students, campus leaders, and young adults looking to make the most of their journey, one episode at a time. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube, and join the community redefining what it means to thrive in university. We have a very special guest today, someone who is so close to my heart. I have seen her grow up. I have grown up with her. We have my little, but not so little anymore, sister Bailey here with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Brooke. I am so very excited to speak with you about my educational journey, though you already know a lot of it, some of the different challenges, and to share them with the audience that you so love and adore.
Bailey, before we jump into it, what is your Campus Chronicles story?
So my Campus Chronicles story is a little bit different from what I even anticipated. I started my educational journey to get my associate's degree during the time of COVID. And as we all know, that was a bit of a challenging time and no one was really quite sure what to expect. And on top of COVID, partway through my associate's, I became bedridden due to some different medical issues. So I had two herniated discs, which went undiagnosed for a very long time. Because in my family, we're genetically predispositioned towards them somewhat, and it runs down my family line. But at my age, no one really anticipated me to have issues that early in life. So no one was checking or testing for it. And me, with my personality being who I am, and seeing all I had seen grown up, my mom and my grandmother struggled with those issues and the chronic pain, was thinking, well, it's not, you know, as bad as theirs has been. So I was rating myself lower than I should have been. And the pain just kept getting worse and worse until I was bedridden for multiple months and completed a lot of my college online. So that is a unique part of my story that really changed how I view education. I always valued it. I always believed that, you know, an education is very important in life. But that shifted my value so much, and it made me really work for my education in a different way. I had to fight for it because I was thinking I would have to drop out of school because I could not concentrate very well. I spent many more hours on assignments than I had to, and somehow I put in the time. I mean, I didn't have that much else to do because I was bedridden and I couldn't do much, but I invested all of my time and focus and energy in fighting for my education and continuing that I was able to retain a 4.0 throughout it all, and I did not have to stop and quit. And now I have my master's, so it's been a crazy journey. I never thought that I would achieve that. At least at that point in my life, I was wondering if I had to drop out of associates. So it's been a very interesting journey, that's for sure.
I know something about your interesting journey is that you developed really strong, very meaningful relationships with your college professors, because you weren't around your peers doing your coursework. You were doing it from your bed. You were doing it from home online. And so you developed very strong relationships with your professors. And now you yourself are going to become a professor.
Yes, that is one of my main aspirations in life now that I have graduated, because I really, when I was bedridden, focused on these relationships. I had always valued intergenerational connections and relationships, but there was this shift into that was my entire college experience and connection was through my professors. And I continued to go online, so it continued to be. So they were the biggest shaping force of not just my education, but some of my personal and professional development and growth. In that sense, the peer connection was lost sometimes to a degree. I didn't have a ton of it where I knew the same people and was in the same courses with them. So having the same professors consistently and interacting with them really helped me define how I want to be, how I want to teach, which is something I never thought I would be trying to strive towards this soon in life, but here I am. Those are my next steps. And I just saw very many different ways of teaching, but all of them were impactful to me. All of them I really loved. There was a teacher who was so fun-loving and said, you know, off-the-wall things. And I really benefited from how she was just loose and friendly and encouraging towards us constantly. And on the flip side, there was a professor who was more strict. And a lot of the other students would say things like, ooh, I'm kind of scared of her. And she really pushes us hard. And I loved that about her because she didn't just push us hard and not put any effort towards us. I saw her putting in the effort for us every single week, grading and keeping on a grading schedule and putting it in on time. And I did extra credit in that course, even though I ended up exceeding 100%. I continued to do it.
Overachiever much.
I did, because I loved her so much. And the extra credit was reading a book and having a weekly conversation with her. So it was just me. I was the only one that decided to do the extra credit in a policy course. And I thought more people would join. And for the first week or two, there were a few people and everyone else dropped off. And they stopped doing the extra credit and kept complaining about the course. And I kept conversing with her and having these conversations. And our conversations wouldn't just be one reply to the questions she asked. We conversed back and forth, back and forth. And I loved it. It was so enriching. And she really invested in me in those conversations and in those interactions weekly, even though she was, you know, more strict, some of the students would say, one of the hardest professors they had in social work, which is what my major is. I loved her. So regardless of how the professor presented themselves, you know, some professors are not great professors. Some I hear stories and every once in a while I'm like, yeah, that wouldn't be a very fun or positive experience to have. But many of the professors that I had, I was very fortunate to have these different experiences and interactions. They were very different people. They taught in different ways. They interacted in different ways. But I found a lot of value in different things that I wanted to take and learn from it. And these different interactions helped me grow. You know, we all have different teachers and bosses in life, and we may not always jive, or that may not be how you would do things, but there's definitely something to learn from most or almost all of the interactions that we have with different people and the connections that we create. And my professors were one of the big things in showing me that. And another professor that I had, different from the two I spoke about earlier, was a very kind professor. She really just wanted to encourage everyone and get to know their personal stories. So that was her connection point. What is your story? And I told her parts of my story that were challenging for me to talk about, but that was a large part of my healing during that time, was having conversations with her. And then even beyond, you know, some of the medical challenges I was going through and some of those conversations that led to healing and growth with her, she really helped me on my faith journey personally by the different things that she spoke about and the way she went about things in a time where I was very uncertain about some different things. So they're all different ways that if you really ask the questions, you open up, you seek that connection. If they are, you know, good people, people who want to educate, to expand your mind, to help you grow, to help you find your path in life, they will respond maybe in very different ways. You know, they might be hard on you. They might be fun. They might just really want to hear your story. Regardless of how it is, they will help you grow. And that is one of the biggest things that I learned.
This should come as no surprise because one of your primary influences is a professional question asker. But you told me on so many different occasions, you were able to form these very meaningful connections and have these deep, enriching, nourishing conversations because you knew how to ask questions.
Yes. And that is one of the things I get feedback on, actually, at my job as well. In my performance, you know, my first performance review, one of the feedback was, you're doing wonderful. Keep doing what you're doing to grow. Keep asking questions because that is your biggest asset. Professors will tell me, keep asking questions. Like, I love that you ask questions. I love that you reach out about this. I love that you, you know, ask insightful questions too, that, you know, make them think and make them get to know you a bit better and learn about you, depending on how you phrase things and go about things. So no question is too small or too big to ask. You can definitely reach out. I encourage you to reach out. And if, you know, I do become a professor here, which is one of my big aspirations in life, to become an adjunct professor, that way I can decide whether or not I want to pursue a doctoral degree or not. Ask questions. We want you to. They want you to. That is one of the big things that I hear. Ask the questions.
What makes the difference between, in your opinion, a good or great question and a subpar question? What makes a great question?
I mean, that's a bit challenging to answer because there are a few different things that matter in a question. Obviously, you want your question to make sense grammatically and to flow. A good question has to make a lot of sense to the reader and be specific, not ambiguous. But beyond that, I'll tell you a story about my interview when I was interviewing for jobs. I went in to interviews, and I view an interview for internships, for jobs, regardless, it doesn't matter how young you are or where you are in life. Interview is an important part of the process where you are interviewing them as much as they are interviewing you.
And yes, listen to Bailey. She's so right.
The first interview that I went to, because I went to many and I called many different places. I didn't limit myself to one. I had, you know, like 12 different places I called, 4 different places I physically went and interviewed at. The first one I went to was telling me how amazing their organization would be for me. And they were doing a lot of talking. And they said this would just be an internship, not a job, because you're still going on for your master's. Even though I had my license and could have a job, and it was very needed in our area at that time. And I knew that they needed LSWs to be working in the mental health field. That was a huge need. Almost every agency needed that. And I knew I could get a job. And they said they didn't want to give me a job, just an internship, and they did all the talking. So they were off my list instantly. And then I went somewhere else and had this 3-hour long interview where they asked me a ton of questions that were really insightful and rich. And here is what really makes a good question. They assessed my character. They asked me questions about myself that were deeper than what's on your resume. What are you good at? They wanted to know me personally. They ask questions about where I see myself in the future, what my strengths were, what my weaknesses were, what some of my different challenges were. And we really had this long, in-depth conversation that went on for 3 hours, even though the interview was not supposed to take that long, because they asked such good questions and they were enriching. They excited me. I loved it. And I thought, man, this is where I want to work. These questions show me they want someone who has grown to a certain level, and they want someone that they can help continue to grow. And they are willing to invest in your growth if they're asking these questions, if they're giving these types of answers in response to my questions, because I had a list of questions I brought too that I wanted to know from them. And I think it's not just about asking one question and the phrasing, it's about having a dialogue where you are actually getting to know each other, even in small ways. Sometimes I will ask questions to professors. I did this a lot because I tend to write a lot and speak a lot, and I tend to go over on time. That's one of my weaknesses is in videos, I would go over on time, on the time length. I would write papers past the requirement length. I tend to be wordy because I want that full comprehensive thought where I am giving you all that richness and that depth. And sometimes professors would tell me you went, you know, past the required depth to get an A on the project. You went past that. But I still, that's just me. That's just what I love to do. But the
Well, you lead with so much curiosity.
I do. Well,
you do.
I think what I was getting to there is with the depth is I will ask questions that get to know their personality and they get to know mine. I go over and I would ask them, will you count me off for going over? Because I know my personality. And I would kind of explain some of that. Like I sometimes struggle because I want to get to that deep level. And then a lot of the times they would tell me, you know, that's fine. I won't count you off if you go off. But they got to know a part of my personality. And I got to know that they appreciated that effort and that they weren't going to count me off as long as it wasn't, you know, repeating the same thing over and over again to get it to a longer length. It was actually new, rich, deep content. So ask those questions where you are presenting something about yourself and you can take away something from them. And that really helps grow your relationship, even in small ways.
If someone is going into a job interview, an internship interview, something like that, and they want to bring insightful questions to the table, but maybe the skill is new for them, what advice do you have about how do you develop insightful questions? How do you come up with them if this is new?
Write them down before. That is my biggest piece of advice. I would write down and sit, and sometimes it would be the same question, it was getting at the same heart of the same matter. And I wrote it down four or five different ways, and then I picked out the best one. And then I refined my list and cut it down. And I said, these are the questions that I want to bring. So I think when I was going through that first process for the first time, because it was new to me too, I had a list of about 20 different questions, and some of them were very similar or almost duplicates, but I cut it down and chose the questions that mattered the most. What do I need to know? The questions that would tell me most about the organization that I was working for, the questions that were worded the best and that sounded the most like me, where I knew they would understand what I meant, but I would also receive the message that I wanted to hear, whether that was a yes or a no, whether they were really taken aback or uncertain, because the organizational culture really matters. The employees really matter. How you interact with people really matter. So the interview, that 3-hour interview I told you about, I really loved my interviewer because I knew they would be my supervisor. And at the end of that interview, I knew one thing. This is who I want to learn from. That was all I needed to know. This is who I want to learn from. The way that they interacted with me, listened to me, answered my questions, I knew they were going to show up in the way that I needed them to. They were a very relaxed individual. And I am someone who sometimes is a bit more anxious, where I need to ask those questions. I need to have that clarity. I need to have conversations and bring things to you, even if it's like, wow, this is my third or fourth question of the day. I feel a little bad here, but I need to have these conversations with you because this is where my growth is and I want to grow. I don't want to stop, you know, and just shut off and not have the opportunity for growth because I'm scared to ask these questions. I'm scared to analyze the interaction, even if it wasn't a big thing that necessarily needs to be said or done. This is something that I kind of went, oh, I'm uncomfortable with this, or oh, that didn't go as good as I hoped. And I want to grow from that. I want to be better next time. And that was someone I knew would help me be better next time in a way that I needed them to. And that was all I needed to know from that interview. And every individual is different. Everyone has different personalities. You may need someone who is, you know, uptight. Maybe that's a good description for someone on time, stick to a schedule. We meet this time every single week. You know, we have this amount of time to talk. that might work for you. That might be the best person for you. I'm not saying you have to have someone relaxed, but you really need to find that match and trust your gut feeling of what your match is going to be to learn and grow from them if you're going in to learn, because this is an experience that, you know, we can learn and grow from negative experiences. We can. And they can shape us and change us and be important, impactful parts of our life that also drove us crazy and kind of broke us, and we grew and were more beautiful from it. But I don't want that for you. I want you to have a beautiful experience where you are getting everything that you need from the start. And you do that by preparing. You do that by interviewing multiple people. You do that by having a mindset of, you know, you can be grateful that someone is taking you under their wing and that they're going to help you and they're going to give you experience and help you grow. But there are so many people who could be doing that, and you don't have to be somewhere that treats you poorly. You deserve to be in a place, in a position where you feel comfortable, where you feel confident, where they are actually investing in you too. And that is what I want for you. That's one of the reasons I want to be a professor, is to show up in that way for individuals, and the way that I have had so many show up for me. And that's one of the things that I would stress to you is, it's important to be grateful. Yes, be grateful for the people that show up in your life, but also know that, you know, when it's their job and their role to show up for you, they should be showing up for you, and find someone who will, who you know will. Do the work to do that. It is work. It is time. It is uncertainty of, am I making the right choice? Do I trust my gut feeling? Do I trust my head? What do I do? If you're religious, you know, maybe praying for guidance. That's what I did. And just really, really invest that time in it.
One thing I want to add to that, because that was so beautiful, and it's exactly the reason I wanted to have you on the show, is you have this beautiful way of dispelling these very large, nuanced topics into these beautiful sound bites like you just did. The other thing I would add to what Bailey said as well is it's how you show respect to yourself. When you ask questions, when you look for a match that's in alignment with yourself, that's you showing respect to yourself. And that is such a nourishing, beautiful experience to show that respect for yourself, to wait for the right match. So you're not jumping into the first opportunity that offers you a position, but you're thoughtfully and carefully creating a life that feels good to you. Bailey, you have been quoted once saying, "Education is the liberation of the mind." And that quote really stuck with me because I thought that was profound. If you were going to give 3 pieces of advice to uni age students, so university age students, what would those 3 pieces of advice be? And they can be about absolutely anything.
Oh my, I would have more than 3, I think, to give.
Well, if you could condense them to 3.
Let's go with 3. First off, you can learn from absolutely anything. There is value in what you are learning. Even when you think maybe it doesn't have as much value or isn't quite as applicable to you, there is value in everything that you are learning. So show up, put in the work to learn, to actually glean new knowledge from it, and to actually grow from that learning. Second, new experiences really do help us. They help our growth. They transform us. They are an important part of learning, and a new experience can be almost anything. So if you are someone who doesn't ask the questions, like we were talking about earlier, because you're afraid of it or because you're kind of scared of asking them, ask the questions. It's a new experience to learn and grow from. And reflect upon it afterwards to keep learning and growing from that. Reflection is such an important part of growth. When you are critically evaluating what happened, what that interaction was like, and then taking that feedback and turning it into a conclusion to move forward. That's actually something that experiential learning theory, a theorist created. And it is, if you don't know it, look it up. Any experience can be a learning experience to learn from, and it is so important to keep learning and to take those experiences, even when uncomfortable, to push us to be better, because uncomfortability is not a bad thing. We think it is, but it is not a bad thing.
Well, it feels painful. It feels vulnerable. It feels like the foundation that we were standing on has shifted, right? When we're uncomfortable, we start to feel uncertain about everything in our lives.
But that is also the point in time when you have the opportunity to strengthen your foundation, to add new knowledge and new skills to it. And through that uncomfortability to grow, that way you were stronger. And then you were at a different level than you were maybe in thought or in attitude or in interactions. Maybe you're treating others kindly. Maybe you are thinking less about how am I presenting myself and how can I show up for others who might be feeling the same thing I am, the same uncomfortability I am, and get those answers and encourage others to go through that process too. So anything can be a learning experience. Learn, grow. You don't necessarily have to do it alone, but really important that you do the things that sometimes make you uncomfortable. Now, my third piece of advice would be don't sell yourself short. You can acknowledge, you know, where you are at in life, what you have accomplished, your strengths, your weaknesses. That 3-hour interview that I went into, I had never had a clinical experience before. And if you're not familiar with social work, that means I'm sitting down one-on-one with you doing therapy, which is one of the many jobs I have now, is I sit and I do therapy one-on-one with children. And I went into that interview and I was very honest about that. No, I have not done the clinical one-on-one aspect. I have done fundraising and I've been in the school setting, but that I have not done. So I wanted to be honest about that, but I also didn't sell myself short. And it's very important that when you are walking into a classroom and you're more uncomfortable with the knowledge and you're like, oh, this wasn't my best subject in high school, or, you know, you're walking into an internship interview and you're trying to figure out where you're going to go, or maybe into a club or something new, and maybe you've had some experience or no experience, that you don't sell yourself short with what you bring to the table, with what you have to offer. You don't have to be overly confident to not sell yourself short. You just have to be honest about, this is what I have, this is what I don't have to bring to the table. And that honesty is so important, to be very, very honest in what you do and what you bring to the table. And to be honest with yourself, that's even more important. Because if you have the tendency to downplay, you know, the different skill sets that you already have, the different experiences you've had and how they could translate and be of value, that's a disservice to you and your confidence and, you know, your feelings of competence moving throughout the world. You have so much more than you think you already have. Acknowledge that. Be honest about that. And you can still say, I have these weaknesses, and recognize your strengths. It's not an either or.
If anyone listening right now could take just one piece of advice, one thing to truly remember from what Bailey said, because there were so many great things. That third point right there is something I still do and have struggled with. And the issue with selling yourself short is it doesn't build that confidence muscle, because confidence is incrementally built. Confidence is built when we, like Bailey said, put ourselves in new scenarios, put ourselves in new situations, go out on the limb and ask the uncomfortable question, because it will make other people grateful we did. So I love all three pieces of advice. Those are beautiful, beautiful. And I ask everyone to just please store those in your heart, because they are going to help you so much.
Thank you. And just to add to that for a moment, because you said it's so important and you still struggle with it. I do too. I am not saying by any means that I do not.
Yes, we all struggle with
that. That was actually one of the biggest pieces of feedback in my 1-year performance review at my job. It was, keep doing what you're doing, because I asked for more feedback because I felt like I didn't get enough. I was at meeting or exceeding expectations. And I said, what can I improve upon here? And she said, keep doing what you're doing because you're asking the right questions. So question asking is important. But the second thing she said to me was, I want to see you be more confident. You have so much knowledge. you can hang with the rest of us who have been here for a decade, which is kind of hard to believe. It blows my mind sometimes. But when you enter those conversations with us to talk about different things and to brainstorm solutions for really tough problems, you come in lacking confidence or with a little bit of hesitance. And I want to see you be more confident because you already have it. You just have to believe and really work on being more confident in the way that you portray yourself. And that was my piece of advice, be more confident.
So I want everybody to also take that piece of advice and apply it to yourself, whether you're going into an internship, whether you're dating, whether you're going into a job, or even trying to ask a professor a tough question and maybe they seem a little hard to approach. Take that piece of advice. And like I said, I still struggle with it. It's not easy to do, but the more that we can build those muscles, the easier and easier it gets. Bailey, I have had so much fun with you. You did not disappoint. As we wrap up and close here, is there any closing remarks you want to share?
As far as closing remarks, I feel very grateful to have been on here to share some encouragement and insights into my experience and some of those key takeaways that I feel like would be so valuable for others. And I have to say, as someone who is looking at, you know, transitioning into more leadership roles, into, you know, potentially teaching and becoming a university professor, that the same piece of advice that I gave you, they're what I would want to see in my students. They're the kind of growth that I would strive towards getting them to reach. So it's not just you doing it for yourself necessarily and having no support. There are people who will support you on the journey to grow some of those skills. And you'll get some positive feedback sometimes when you ask those questions, when you take those risks. There are people who will support you and who will celebrate seeing your growth, who want that for you.
Bailey has been working on her master's for the past extremely long period of time. And I've been really looking forward to having her on the podcast because I knew how much depth of insight and depth of wisdom she could share, probably because she got her mind liberated by education. And you did not disappoint. For me, this was a particularly beautiful and exciting and heartwarming and meaningful episode because to see the ways that you've grown from being bedridden, from being in that extremely hard struggle to where you are now is exactly the sort of story that I want to spotlight for our viewers. Because no matter where you are right now or what you may be going through, it can get so much better. Ask the questions, believe in yourself, show up, owning the scope of your knowledge. Bailey, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my goodness. And thank you so much to everybody for joining us on another episode of the Campus Chronicles podcast.
So if today's episode gave you life, perspective, or just a much needed moment to breathe in a busy world, I don't want you to keep it to yourself. Share it, tag us, please send it to a friend who needs to hear it. And if you're not on our newsletter yet, what are you doing? Go to campuschroniclespod.com and join the crew. We have all the behind the scenes things, unfiltered thoughts from me and the team, bonus resources, and insider only invites to events, giveaways, and things that we really don't post anywhere else. I promise I'm not going to spam you. It's just the good stuff straight to your inbox. Being in university is wild enough. You don't need to miss out on what matters. Sign up now and let's make this next semester the one that you stop surviving and start thriving. Until next time, stay bold, stay curious, keep writing your own chapter. This is Campus Chronicles.